My friends, do our hearts really know who God is and who we are? It's interesting if we look in today's reading as we approach Calvary, we approach the great mysteries of our salvation, Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection. We keep seeing Jesus over and over again display himself as the Savior. And our first readings will often parallel what's happening in the gospel. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego know they're going to be executed. And I love that little dialogue they have with Nebuchadnezzar. They say, even if we're not saved, we would not bow down to a false god. We know who our God is. We know who our Savior is. And that this life is not the only life. And as we turn our attention from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those thrown into the fiery furnace and are saved, we look again to Jesus, our true Savior, the one who is to come, the one who will save the whole world, all creation. And we see that he says to each one of us, through me, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But one of the things that struck me in this gospel this morning, my friends, is the obstinance and the blindness of the people. Like Jesus says, or the gospel says right at the beginning, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him. So those Jews who believed in him are still throwing up opposition to him. They're still believing lies about themselves and about him. And let's take a step back for a moment and look at ourselves. You would not be listening to this Mass, praying this Mass, celebrating this Mass, if you did not believe in Jesus. So in a sense, we are all part of this group of people who believe in him. And yet Jesus tells us, if you believe in me, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And yet there's still something in us that believes lies, that has a distorted view of who Jesus is and who we are. I was listening to an audiobook the other day preparing for a talk on Holy Week to our RCIA participants. And the author was talking about the theory of atonement. It's a theory by the church fathers. Basically talked about Jesus' death on the cross, bring an atonement between God and man. So the word in English, atonement, to atone, literally means to bring at one together. Two to bring at one. And there's very much a distortion of this theory of atonement when the last couple centuries have kind of warped it. And it's viewed nowadays as the wrath of an angry God wanting the blood of his son to pay for the sins of the world. And my friends, that is wrong. And that theological view is kind of seeped into the way we might see the world. But this author in this audiobook I was listening to was making the argument that, yes, that theory of atonement is wrong. The correct theory of atonement recognizes that we don't see ourselves. We don't see God. We don't see our relationship with God clearly. And that Jesus' death on the cross is an event that puts into proper perspective, proper clarity, the truth of Jesus, ourselves, and our relationship with God. So what is the truth? My friends, we have to know that Jesus loves us, that our God loves us desperately. And when we look at the cross, we see the ultimate act of love. One who wants to give us, through pain and suffering, he wants to give us good things, the gift of salvation, the gift of joy, everlasting joy in the life to come, but also joy in this life. And also a simple fact that suffering does not have the final word, that suffering can be redeemed, that it can lead to goodness, truth, beauty, and joy. And my friends, it also speaks to the reality, the cross speaks to the reality that we are good in Jesus. That we are loved, that we have this identity deep within us that the Lord placed in us in our creation and then especially through our baptism, that we are beloved sons and daughters of the Father. And Jesus' death on the cross puts this identity to us in a clear way. We want to know how valuable we are. My friends, if you want to know how valuable you are, we look at a crucifix and we see that we are valuable to God to the point of Him shedding His blood, to the Him pouring out everything that He is. And it's as we, in this dialogue that Jesus has with the Jews, the person they always keep coming back to is Abraham. That we are sons of Abraham. And Jesus says, but you want to kill me, therefore you're not children of Abraham. You're not doing what Abraham does. And let's ask the question real briefly to understand our true relationship with God. What does Abraham do? Later on in John 8, the chapter we're in right now in our gospel, we hear this. Jesus says to the people, Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And the commentary I've read on this is that Abraham saw his son Isaac, the fulfillment of God's promises, and he rejoices to see that God is faithful. So the faithfulness of God, God answering his prayers, answering his promises, as Jesus says, brings joy and gladness to Abraham's heart. That Abraham rejoices to see the promises of God fulfilled. For us, do we know that Jesus is good? Do we know that Jesus is faithful? I have been exploring last couple days and weeks the reality that my heart views things often in terms of sadness, often in terms of suffering. That, yeah, I'm supposed to follow Jesus, and to follow Jesus means that I have to suffer. And that is true. That is true. Like, I am supposed to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him. I know that. And I know many of you watching this know that. But what I am starting to realize in my own prayer, and I want to convey this to you, and just in our gospel today, the works of Abraham. The works of Abraham, the work of following Jesus, is not just suffering. In fact, the taking on of the cross is done in view of, in light of, joy. The fulfillment of God's promises, that God is faithful, that he hears our prayers, and that he gives us joy. This, it's not all sadness. The cross leads to the joy of the resurrection. Joy will flood into our hearts when we realize God is faithful. He hears us. He answers our prayers in the midst of suffering and pain. We know that we are loved. We know that we remain with God, that God remains with us always. I was reminded as I was praying on this and wanting to talk to all of you about this, one of my favorite passages from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12. And it talks all about fixing our gaze on Jesus, to lay aside every sin and encumbrance, anything that holds us back from following Jesus. We lay it aside and we put our eyes fixed on Jesus, the perfecter and origin, the end of our faith. But why do we do this? It is not just detachment. It's all not just pain and suffering. But we imitate Jesus. And what does he do? In verse 2, it tells us, for the sake of the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross. For the sake of the joy that was laid before him, he endured the cross. My friends, do you know this? Do I know this? Do I know that the reason I endure the cross is for the abiding joy of Jesus to be in me, to be in you? At this Mass, as we delve deeper into the mysteries of Jesus, as we enter into the truth, and the truth sets us free, let's ask the Lord to know him, really know him, know that he is good, that he is faithful, that he hears us, he answers our prayers, and that in this life, We are called to joy. That joy is gained for us by the cross. But it is joy nonetheless. And a joy that abides. A joy that is deep. So my friends, yes, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow your Lord, your friend, your master Jesus. But know that you follow him because of the joy that is set before you. This is truth, and this truth will set you free.